Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio. If you weren't tuned in earlier, I will reiterate. Going to do a little news and notes here at the top, but towards the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Howard Kravitz, our friend from the HHH Racing Podcast. I've mentioned a number of times. We've had Howard on a few times. I sit at home a lot, handicapping in front of the computer for the show the next day or a couple days ahead, because I have to get information for the one sheet that's available on the website, capitalotb.com. But as I'm sitting at home, I'll have YouTube up, and the HHH Racing Podcast is often one of the featured shows that I'm watching. They typically are doing previews and reviews of some of the big stakes action, great handicapping as well. And so reached out to Howard because I know this week on the podcast they looked at some of the Ellis stakes and also some of the Woodbine stakes. So we'll talk a little bit about both of those coming up with Howard Kravitz at the bottom of the hour. But we'll start things out. I'll just go over some news and notes and preview some of the other stakes action today as well. Before we do that, I do want to remind you, coming up here at the Clubhouse Racebook over the next couple of days. Yesterday we had the happy hour bankroll, which was thrown into a little bit of a jumble with some of the cancellations, but won the folks on the team some money, not a lot, but won a little bit of money for everybody. And ooh, we came close. The rainbow with the mandatory pay yesterday, with the funny end of the fiscal year situation down in Florida, which leads to a mandatory pay yesterday on a Friday down at Gulfstream, but also the 2 days of racing down at Tampa. That's tied into the end of their fiscal year down in Florida and some of the just quirky racing laws that are down there. But with the mandatory pay, went 5 of 6 with a play for the bankroll team yesterday. Otherwise, it could have been a lot more fun there. So we had that yesterday, the happy hour bankroll. But today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, it's the Winabet promotion. If you'd like to come down and enjoy some of the racing action, grab a little lunch, but also maybe have a little extra fun with the Winabet contest today. And tomorrow it's the match bet promotion right here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. So a fun weekend here. Continuing into the week, don't forget, come down and watch some of the racing action Monday and Tuesday. I'll be here on the network as well with New York racing in action both Monday and then, of course, on the holiday Tuesday also. So keep that in mind. All right. Mentioned some news and notes. News that came out yesterday. Churchill Downs has lifted the ban on Safi Joseph horses after the necropsies on his horses who broke down at Churchill leading into Derby week. Had inconclusive results. The spokesman for Churchill Downs said, given the details available to us as a result of the necropsy reports, there is no basis to continue Joseph's suspension. So the Safi Joseph horses allowed again down at Churchill. And again, I mentioned it earlier on the handicapper's report. The article, it's a Matt Haggerty article I'm reading from Daily Racing Form, winds up talking about the Churchill horse racing fatalities. Led to the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority, HISA, opening up an investigation of the conditions at Churchill that could have contributed to the spate of fatalities. That investigation, which is being conducted in concert with the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission and with the cooperation of Churchill, is not expected to be finished until late this summer, according to a HISA official. So, we'll know more. And as I said earlier, it just seems to me they were all unrelated. And that's what they're statistically, I think it's just one of those anomalies where a bunch of unfortunate incidents happened at a similar time. But we'll find out more when the report comes out later on. Dave Grenick reported in the Racing Forum, Tappet, Trice, and Forte worked Friday. Pletcher has said still not decided where Tappet, Trice, and Forte would make their next starts. The logical spots, of course, being the Haskell and or the Jim Dandy for one or the other. Pletcher said that both Tappet, Trice, and Forte would have one more work at Belmont before heading up to Saratoga. Also, Nest, the reigning three-year-old filly Eclipse champion, hasn't started this year, but she also worked. Pletcher is targeting the July 23rd Shoe V for Nest's seasonal debut. And of course, that'll be fun. We'll, you know, one of the special performances we'll get to see right up here at Saratoga. So Forte and Tappet Trice, we'll see them traverse, and maybe sooner in the Jim Dandy, one or the other. And Nest we'll get to see fairly early in the meet, you know, July 23rd, to see her seasonal debut. So good news there. Arcangelo could have the first work since the Belmont next week. Trainer Jenna Antonucci said middle of next week is possible. Nothing set in stone. And according to this Dave Grenick article, she is kind of hinting that they may train up to the Traverse. She's quoted as saying, obviously, we know the Dandy, the Jim Dandy. We know the Dandy and the Traverse are sitting there. There would be a little heavier focus to the Traverse than the Dandy. So says of Arcangelo, again quoting, he's really good and we're very happy with him. He's enjoying his environment in round pen. So again, we'll see what the game plan is for Arcangelo, but it might be training up to the Traverse. And I mentioned it earlier on the Handicappers Report, and I mentioned it now for a few weeks. We are waiting. Haskell, Jim Dandy, Travers, Pennsylvania Derby. Will somebody step forward on the three-year-old scene and make some noise and kind of, you know, grab control of that division? And I'm just looking because I have the story here. Unfortunately, one horse that won't be moving forward, Haskell, Jim Dandy, and/or Travers, Pennsylvania Derby, is Two Fills. Unfortunately, it was announced just a couple of days ago. Two Fills has been retired. The big performance in the Kentucky Derby, and then last week, the really nice win in the Ohio Derby with big numbers associated with it. Well, subsequently, the horse was a little off. They did the, you know, the proper diagnostic performances. And they decided, given the situation, there is a, you know, an issue with sesamoid, and so the prognosis of coming back as good as he left was unlikely. And so, you know, off of that 105 buyer win in the Ohio Derby, I think we were all thinking Two Fills might be the one as the summer progressed, but unfortunately, that's the horse racing game. Two Fills has been retired by the connection, so unfortunate there. And again, Arcangelo potentially not being seen next until the Travers. But again, we'll see. Jenna Antonucci wasn't set in stone. May get a look at him prior to that. Also wanted to mention it's always rough when a jockey gets a bad injury, and Deshaun Parker, I mean, if you're not familiar, he's a guy who, I mean, if you follow racing closely, you're clearly familiar with him. More of a Midwest kind of a jockey, but he's one of the all-time winningest jockeys. The article 18th on the win list in North American racing with over 6,000 victories. But Deshaun Parker the other day at Horseshoe Indy unfortunately sustained a bad injury, a broken pelvis, tailbone broken. He had a horse, I guess prior to the race, the horse got a little spooked, flipped, and landed on Deshaun Parker. So anyway, the upshot is the head successful surgery on Wednesday, but no timetable for his return to racing. But again, I wanted to mention that because I'm sure, as I say, if you really follow the game, you know, this is one of the guys, again, out in the Midwest and has been, as that win total indicates, for quite a while. So if you're looking and you're watching some of those races out of Horseshoe or whatnot, and where's Deshaun Parker? He's on the mend, and certainly we, you know, wish the best for him. It sounds like things turned out well after the surgery the other day, but oof, that's always scary when those situations happen. Article in the Blood Horse that Cody's Wish being considered, still under consideration for the Whitney. That would be a lot of fun if he showed up. He has just been so phenomenal this year. Stretch out in the Whitney. Bill Mott said of the Whitney, that's possible. It's 9 furlongs. That's always a question. He won his Breeders' Cup going a two-turn mile, but he's not won at a mile and eighth. You never know until they do it, but could be fun. Could have had another really, really nice marquee event. The Whitney's going to be a marquee event one way or the other, but if Cody's Wish shows up, it just adds to the excitement of another summer up at Saratoga. So Nyra tweeted out kind of a preview. Hey, we're whatever it was, 9 or 12 days away from the most fabulous time of the year. And I can't. Then one graphic said Christmas in July, and we all think of it that way. If we're horse racing fans, and we're getting closer and closer. Week from tomorrow winds up the Belmont meet, and then a few days later, Saratoga kicks off. It should be a lot of fun. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, I'll come back just a few more notes and just give you a preview on some of that stakes action that's coming up at the various venues today. And then again, bottom of the hour, Howard Kravitz from the HHH Racing Podcast. We'll do a little preview of some of the Ellis action. We'll probably pull in a couple of the Woodbine stakes as well. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back. As noted a few moments ago, Belmont will wrap up a week from tomorrow. Just to give you a little update on the human side of things, pulled up the Equibase stats for trainers and jockeys in New York. Irod Ortiz with, at this point, you know, week or so of racing left, a six-win lead over his brother. Irod Ortiz with 49 wins, Jose Ortiz with 43. They have a little bit of space ahead of Manny Franco, who has 27. Dylan Davis on a nice little roll at the end of the meet. That's got to help the confidence moving up to Saratoga. Dylan Davis with 21. And then we have three tied with 17 wins. Javier Castellano, Joel Rosario, and Flavian Prop. But it looks like the Ortiz brothers will be vying for the title with Irod Ortiz currently a six-win lead, 49-43 over his brother, with, again, about a week left in that Belmont meet. And on the trainer side of things, Linda Rice with a four-win lead over Chad Brown, 28-24. Then we drop down to Mike Maker at 16 and three tied at 13. Todd Fletcher Christophe Clement and Rudy Rodriguez. So it looks like over the last week, it'll come down to Linda Rice and or Chad Brown. Four-win difference at this point with Linda Rice in the lead in this final stretch the last week or so. All right, as noted, there's some nice stakes action around the country, and we'll talk a little Ellis and Woodbine in a few minutes. I'll hit on some Woodbine in a moment, but we'll certainly, as I say, talk about that with our next guest, Howard Kravitz. Do want to note, though, if you weren't watching the handicapper's report earlier, the Dwyer today, because, again, this three-year-old picture is so much up in the air, the Dwyer today at Belmont could be interesting. It's going to go off at about 3:41. That's the printed post time. I thought two lightly raced horses that might have some upside potential on the three-year-old scene were interesting, Harrodsburg and Saudi Crown. I put Harrodsburg on top, but they're both similar with only two starts so far and having shown some promise. And I mentioned earlier, these are the kind that it's the coming out party and they open the curtains and come out on the stage, or they wind up fifth maybe and just, you know, have to work their way back up the ladder, being lightly raced and stepping into saltier company. I think they both have the potential to be interesting in the three-year-old scene. And they bookend, for me, on the handicapping side, Fort Bragg for Bob Baffert, who has shown some potential but just hasn't so far lived up to it really in the three-year-old season. But now back in the barn of Bob Baffert after having spent some time with Tim Yachtin, comes to New York, Fort Bragg, interesting. So again, it's a field of six, but there's some potential in the Dwyer this afternoon at Belmont to, you know, have some three-year-olds that potentially will make a little noise on that three-year-old scene that it's begging for somebody to make some noise. Seventh race at Delaware today. Delaware, a couple of nice stakes, so I did want to mention that. The Robert G. Dick Memorial Grade 3 event, $250,000 up for grabs. Always like to mention these also because these stakes down at Delaware often play into Saratoga stakes in a few weeks. And this is a nice field of 11 here on the turf. I'm going to put Frivoli, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, for a Graham Motion. I have a bunch of question marks. Of course, it's 10-1 on the morning line. Sign me up. I mean, this horse started the career in Europe, came over, and the first start in the United States at Churchill was a nice win. Graham Motion trainee now comes back in this stake at Delaware. Again, 10-1, I'm all for it. Lovely Princess for Ken McPeak, I think will be interesting. Miss Yearwood for Ian Wilkes. A Sopran Basilia, another Graham Motion European import, could be a player as well. But the Robert G. Dick Memorial, as I say, nice full field in here. And again, has the potential to play into some stakes action a little bit later on up at Saratoga. But I'll go a little Frivoli on top there, and I'll hope the morning. I just find it hard to believe that morning line's going to hold up. Also at Delaware today, the Delaware Oaks Grade 3 event, $300,000, as the name would lead you to believe. Three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th. Fireline to me is interesting. Comes down from New York for a Chad Brown and Judmont Tri-Stakes Company today. Only three starts, broke the maiden very impressively in the second career start last November. Laid off from then until the three-year-old debut middle of May. That was a nice race. The buyer numbers have improved with each start. Again, Tri-Stakes Company, but I think validly does so off what we've seen so far, and I'll tilt in that direction. Balpool for Rob Attris, I think, has some potential. Won a nice little stake at Aqueduct 2 back, fourth behind Text and Hoosier Philly in the Black-Eyed Susan last time. Miracle for Todd Pletcher, nice little New York bred that I think could be a player in here. Promiser America going out for Ray Handel, clunked in the Kentucky Oaks, but won the Gazelle before that, could be a player. And again, given three-year-old fillies and a couple of nice three-year-old filly stakes up at Saratoga, potentially this could play into those races up at Saratoga. So again, a couple of nice little stakes at Delaware this afternoon that, as I say, have the potential to make a little noise with some of these runners going forward in a few weeks up at Saratoga. And also wanted to mention, as I say, we may hit on this with Howard Kravitz a little bit later, some of this Woodbine action. But I did want to alert you the Saline $150,000 Grade 3 event, race number 7 at Woodbine today. I mentioned Hoosier Philly as placing in one of the stakes that one of those horses ran in, who had the funny start to the season. Well, funny start to the season also for Wonder Wheel. But she comes back this afternoon in the Saline up at Woodbine. So she'll try a little synthetic this afternoon. Wonder Wheel, the 2-year-old Eclipse champion, who was so good last year. I had Mark Cassie on the show prior to her second place finish in the Spinaway. He was really high on her then. He remained high on her, and she followed up that second in the Spinaway with a win in the Alcibiades, and then a really nice win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. Started the 3-year-old season running second at 1-2 in the Suncoast at Tampa. But Mark said, well, this is a good way to start the season. But then I think he was disappointed with the Ashland and certainly the Kentucky Oaks 9th place finish. So he said, I'm going to take her up, bring her some cooler weather up in Canada, and kind of hit the reset button. And he's also said, I think, that maybe try some turf, but today, synthetic. I'll be interested to see. I put her in the third spot in this Saline. I went out to Solo Album. It's the other Mark Cassie at 15-1 on the morning line, coming out of a win on the move up to Woodbine this season. Last time to break the maiden, probably has to step it up a little bit, but not a whole lot. And at 15-1 on the morning line, Solo Album, interesting to me in that race. It's also interesting that Safi Joseph has 3 runners in here, and he's got a number of runners on the card at Woodbine today. So I guess they loaded up the plane down in Florida and said, man, if we're taking one, let's take 6 or 7. But he has 3 in that Saline. But again, the storyline is going to be to see what Wonder Wheel can do in here this afternoon. And that Saline is going to be race number 7, and it'll go off at about 4:30 up at Woodbine. So again, we'll see how that plays out. Also, the Nassau brings back Moira, another filly worth paying attention to this afternoon. The Nassau is going to be the 10th at Woodbine. It'll go off a little after 6 o'clock. And Moira, of course, the talented filly who won the Queen's Plate last year, won it pretty decisively, then tried the E.P. Taylor and ran a close-up second, facing Older. Her lone start so far this season was a stakes race up at Woodbine where she just missed at 30 cents to the dollar. You would have to think that will bode well fitness-wise and has a nice little bullet workout coming into this. But she's another interesting storyline on the afternoon, given that, she also got off to a rough start for the season. It was a nice little second-place finish, but at 30 cents to the dollar, you're thinking probably a win. So, again, there's some nice stakes action up at Woodbine this afternoon with some very, very intriguing storylines to pay attention to. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, as promised earlier, our friend Howard Kravitz from the HHH Racing Podcast will join us. We'll take a look at some of the Ellis action and probably take a look at one or two from Woodbine as well. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku.
The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Howard Kravitz, the host of the HHH Racing Podcast. Howard, good morning.
I'm doing well, Seth. Thanks for inviting me again today. Very excited. A lot of stakes action throughout the country. It's going to be a great day.
Yeah, it really will be. I just touched on the couple of races at Delaware that are going to be fun, and they often play into stakes a little bit later on at Saratoga. That Dwyer at Belmont, where the three-year-olds face off in a season where the three-year-olds are crying out for somebody to take hold of the division. Give me your thoughts on the three-year-old division. Everybody I've had on the past few weeks I've asked, I just think I have used the word undefined. I think at this point we are waiting now. Haskell, Jim Dandy, Travers, Pennsylvania Derby, somebody to step up. And unfortunately, I think after last week, we were all thinking, well, it's going to be two Phils. And then, unfortunately, he gets retired. Your thoughts on the three-year-old scene at this point?
Yeah, it's really a shame with two Phils. I'm a Chicago guy. I live in the Chicago area. And I thought Larry Urelli just did a tremendous job with this horse. And that's horse racing. It's just a shame. I agree it's very wide open. I still think that you have to put Forte as your number one horse right now in the three-year-old division based on what he's done. I thought he ran a huge Belmont, despite losing ground on the final turn, then coming on again. I'm very curious to see if some fresh faces come along. I think there might be some running this weekend that could be a factor later on. So I think the three-year division is absolutely wide open. Obviously, Janet Tenucci with Arcangelo was quite the story. And my boy, Tappet Trice, who I have loved all along, but the sort of goofy, just worked very well, from what I understand, a few days ago, or I think yesterday, I believe. I wouldn't count him out, because if he figures it out, I think he's super talented. So it's a very interesting division, and I think there could be some fresh faces, maybe, you know, from Baffert that are going to join these two-turn races for three-year-olds and be a factor, especially at Saratoga.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Again, those four that I mentioned, and then later on, if they step in and face older, somebody's got to jump. And I have said just what you said. I think if you're voting at this point, you're kind of tilting towards Forte, although the resume at this point needs to be bolstered a little. It's going to be fun as the summer plays out. Before we get to the handicapping, also wanted to give you a chance to talk a little bit about the HHH Racing Podcast. When I've had you on before, I have mentioned it, and I will mention again often as I handicap at night. I have YouTube going, and I will pull you guys up, and you and your co-hosts, Pete Visco and Paul Halloran, do a great job, previews and reviews, and it's a lot of fun to listen to. I will tout it, and I'm looking forward to, you're going to jump on for a little sponsorship up at Saratoga. We appreciate that, and then you and the team will be around Whitney weekend, so we'll pull you over at that point and talk to you live on the backstretch. But again, for folks who aren't familiar, just fill us in a little bit on the podcast.
Yeah, we're very excited to be partnering with Capital OTB with some sponsorship and As you mentioned, some ads will be showing up at Saratoga, and then we'll be there live, as you said, for Whitney Week, and look forward to being on your show. Our shows are on YouTube. We've been around for a little over 2 years. We've grown tremendously. We have almost 300,000 views right now on our channel. So we really are proud of our viewership. We're on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube is our flagship show. As you can see, my wonderful co-host there coming up on the screen. And then we have a new show called Bettin' and Boozin', which is hosted and co-hosted by three young guys who are really bright handicappers, and they like to have a lot of fun. And that show is Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. So those are our two main shows. But we have other shows on. Just go ahead and go to YouTube and type in HHH Racing Podcast in the search bar. And then we also have our Power Picks, if I can mention those real quick.
Oh, by all means, do it.
So we have a tip sheet called Power Picks, and you can find that at patreon.com/HHH Racing Podcast. The ROI has been well over $2 for the last 2.5 years. We have spot plays, price plays. We use ABC method of betting for our horizontals, and it's been extremely successful. People need to check it out. It's very inexpensive. It's only $4 for the entire weekend, so $16 a month, very profitable. Again, check that out, patreon.com/HHH Racing Podcast. We're going to have a special Saratoga power pick coming up. Everyone will find out about that soon.
Excellent. And I know last weekend you had a very successful weekend with the power picks, and that's not unusual. And again, just to reiterate the bona fides for you and the team, you're a contest player and you've done well in a lot of the big contests. But I may have to bring Paul over just to sit in with me one day and talk about that crazy contest experience he had, where he wound up winning one of the really nice contests that takes place during the year. But listening to the follow-up on your podcast the following week, he didn't even decide he was going to enter until like noontime. And I think it closed at noontime, and he signed up at about 11:55 and then won the contest.
It's a crazy story. It's a fun episode. People should check that out. I don't have the number right in front of me, but it was in April. Paul won the grade one gamble. It's one of the majors of contests. And so, and Pete Visco, our other co-host, is an excellent handicapper. He doesn't play in as many contests. I've had a bunch of contest success. So we talk about that on the show, too. As you know, this game is so much more than just handicapping. We talk a lot about betting structure. I've talked about it with you, on your show. There's much more to it than handicapping. You have to structure your tickets correctly and know how to bet correctly. And we talk about that a lot. And boy, Paul did that very well in April at Keeneland.
People should check it out because the story is great. It's like, yeah, I showed up and we're thinking, yeah, well, okay, I'll take a little shot at the contest. And then he pulls down the whole prize. It was just crazy. And also, I will tell you, you have another contest player, a very good contest player, Matt Miller, on regularly. When he kind of analyzes things, because he comes at it from that contest approach, and I think I say it all the time. I advise people to try contests. Up at Saratoga, that low roller is a great way to get introduced. But when you play contests, you have to think maybe a little bit differently. I think it improves your handicapping.
There's no question about it. And whether you want to play your $2 mythical win place or live money contest, there's many different contests out there. It really does broaden your horizons. It teaches you to go for it and to press your opinions. And if you have the option to play exacta, trifecta, double, etc., and you're not just a win place better, you can again learn how to key horses underneath. And we don't get all the details, but try to find value. This game is all about value and ROI. You know, if I have one winner out of eight, but that winner was a 15-1, you're gonna win on the day. So as much as we'd like to find winners, to me, it's all about value.
Yeah, very good. So again, tout people to swing by YouTube and type in HHH Racing Podcast and pull it up. It's well worth the visit. And again, we're looking forward to talking to you live up at Saratoga. But I've invited you in this morning because I know you talked about a couple of the venues that have big races on the podcast this week, some Ellis and some Woodbine. So we'll touch on a little bit at both of those venues. And let's start out with the highlight at Ellis today. The Stephen Foster Grade 1 event, $1 million up for grabs, a mile and an eighth. I went with West Will Power. I looked at the New Orleans Classic and hope we get back to that. Did run third last time, the Ali Sheba, but I think on a best effort, this horse very playable. I could have just as easily used the two Kenny McPeak horses, Smile Happy coming off the Bingwin and the Ali Sheba, and I've been very impressed so far the four-year-old season from Rattle and Roll. But we're going to pull up a replay here, the Essex at Oaklawn back in March. It's going to be Last Samurai, who for the coach, Dwayne Lucas, put together a really nice Oaklawn season. Disappointed a little bit last time in the Ali Sheba running fourth. But Last Samurai, again, down at Oaklawn, was very impressive. And the coach, Wayne Lucas, seems to, over the past week or so, be on a little bit of a roll down at Ellis. Give us some of your thoughts on the Stephen Foster.
Well, I agree that West Willpower is the horse to beat. I think West Willpower is better outside of horses. What two back in New Orleans, he freaked with a 109 buyer. And I think, again, he's going to be better on the outside. And he gets a nice post from the sixth hole. He's going to be able to stalk. There is quite a bit of early speed in this race, at least on paper, right? Seth, we've said that 1,000 times to ourselves. Look at all the speed, and then someone just wires the field. But Wes Willpower has a great chance to win this race. I think he's going to stalk and pound. He's in really good form. I think he is the horse to beat. Last Samurai to me is interesting. And I listen to a certain podcast and a lot of quote-unquote experts out there, and everyone seems to be down on Last Samurai for this race. I'm not really sure I understand why. Now, maybe he doesn't class up, but he's going to be mid-pack. I think he's going to get a great trip. The Ali Sheba last time was coming off a three-week break only. We know Dwayne doesn't mind running horses off a quick break. So he's rested up for this. He's been working very well. I'm not sure about the surface. Now, it is supposed to rain later today, so I'm going to need to keep in mind. They got some thunderstorms earlier this week. The grass course is a little bit softer, and there might, and I say might, be at some severe thunderstorms later in Henderson, Kentucky. So you've got to pay attention to the track surface. But I think Last Samurai is interesting. I think you're going to get a price, too. I'm against Smile Happy, by the way. I know he ran a 110 buyer last time. I just need to see it again. So I'm against Smile Happy. I like Rattle and Roll. And I'm a little against Proxy, too.
All right. Sounds good. We're looking at 6-1 on Last Samurai on the morning line. I think off the last effort, you probably get in that neighborhood if you're playing around looking for that kind of value. In the Wise Dan, and again, weather maybe plays into some of this because you're right, they did have some weather down there over the last few days. But in the Wise Dan, it was hard for me to get past Set Piece, and we're going to pull up the Arlington from last June 3rd. Set Piece is going to be the number 7. Get Smokin' led much of the way and winds up second, the number 1 horse. Harlan Estate, the number 5, runs third in here. They're all back this afternoon. But again, off of this effort for Set Piece. I'll tell you what, a horse that I thought was a little bit interesting getting back to the turf was Tut's Revenge. An angle I like quite a bit over the years I've been handicapping is a horse gets a couple of sprints and then stretches out. Now, normally there's not a surface switch included, but there's some back turf form for Tut's Revenge. So a 20-1, that's the horse I'll be playing around with a little bit in some fashion, the number 2, Tut's Revenge. But how did you see the Wise Dan?
That's an interesting pick. I mean, Tut's Revenge does have some back form. I'm not sure he's as good during his 7-year-old year campaign as he was last year. But look, Set Piece, we just showed the replay. What a cool horse, right, Seth? I mean,
yeah.
All he does is run well for the most part. You see his buyers, we look at the PPs. I will say there's two negatives with him. Number 1, he needs race flow and he needs pace. So I think there is early speed in this race. And number 2, I feel very confident in saying that he's better on a firm turf course. I don't think we're going to get that today. So while I think set piece is a likely winner, I don't think he's a slam dunk. There's two horses I'm interested in here. I'm especially interested in Camp Hope, the number three. Now, he looks a little slow on paper, but Seth, go back to some races in 2021. His best numbers have been on soft or good turf courses. So I think you're going to get that. He used to be a speed horse. Now McPeak is teaching this horse to rate and finish. And I really like his last race where he ran a 91 buyer and was wide and ran down some pretty good horses. So my fuzzy here is Camp Hope, the number three at 5-1. And I also look at Harlan Estate from the rail, who also is rounding into form at 10-1. So that piece can obviously win, but I think there are some questions with him, especially if the turf course comes up softer.
Yeah, you make a great point about the turf conditions, and folks need to take a look at that on the favorite and some of the other horses who may improve with softer ground like your pick. That's interesting. The eighth race today is the Florida League Grade 2 event, $400,000 up for grabs, a mile and an eighth. I was master of the obvious in here with Amore. I went back to the Beholder Mile and the win. We're going to watch that here. Beholder Mile back on March 11th at Santa Anita. Amore is the number five horse in here, getting it done. Pauline's Pearl is going to be the number two and is going to wind up the track a little bit. And I think she is, class-wise, the horse that maybe stacks up with Amore. But, boy, the last couple of starts for Pauline's Pearl haven't been inspiring. If I was looking for some value, I thought Royal Take Charge was interesting, and I thought Moonswag was maybe a little bit of a look-see as well. But what did you see in the Florida League?
Yeah, there are four scratches that Kevin Kirstein, media relations director, put out yesterday on Twitter. The three Royal Take Charge is out, Seth. 3, 4, 7, 8 are out of this race, unfortunately. So it's only a four-horse field. And so Amore looks to me very tough in this spot. I liked her even without the scratches. Brad Cox has done a great job with this horse, improving off of Todd Fletcher from last year, which is not easy to do. Murray's just going to stalk and pounce and I think be tough here. I will say Pauline's Pearl, who looks like she's regressing, she was wide in that lottery end. She was on the first turn 3-4 wide. She never got a good spot. And then the other two starts before that, her Houston Ladies Classic was solid. Didn't run as well at Santa Anita. Maybe she just didn't handle the ship. I wouldn't discount Pauline's Pearl. You know she's going to get a good trip with a four-horse field. So, to me, it's between one of those two. Bellamore is a turf horse, but if the weather, if the dirt is wet, usually turf horses can handle that. And Bellamore might be centaured from the inside with Martin Garcia. I wouldn't completely discount Bellamore, but I think it's all about Amore in general.
Yeah, it seems like with the scratches, that's likely. All right, let's shift our attention north of the border. Woodbine, I know podcast, you were also looking at some Woodbine action and, you know, in touch with you yesterday, you thought you had an interesting play perhaps in the Nassau, the 10th race at Woodbine this afternoon. Grade 2 event, $175,000, fillies and mares going a mile on the grass. And I pulled up a replay, and the horse you like, I'm going to play around a little bit with too. I put Moira on top. I thought off the seasonal debut, the Queen's Plate winner for last year might benefit and move forward from that. Scottish Star comes up for Todd Pletcher. I'll play around with him a little bit as well. Raylu Gutierrez up for the ride. But then you mentioned Millie Girl as one to look at. I have her in the third spot. I think she's intriguing as well. Same scenario I talked about a little bit earlier, a couple of sprints and now stretches out to a mile this afternoon. And we're going to pull up the Royal North. This is going back to June 3rd. Millie Girl's going to be the number four horse. You can pick up the chicklet there making the run, and we'll watch the gallop out as well for number four, Millie Girl. Give us your thoughts in the Nassau and on Millie Girl.
So Moira is absolutely the horse to be, but as we watch this replay here in the white silk, the Miller Girl, you know, Declan Carroll wanted to get this horse to the outside. You see she's lugging a little bit. He finally gets her to the outside. You see that she jumped leads right there. Do you see that? She switched back to her left, and it took her a while to get back to her right lead. And I'm a huge fan of Gallop Out. Look at this Gallop Out. I mean, she blew by this field after the race. Now, I know some people don't believe in Gallop Outs, so I think they're overrated, and not every Gallop Out is the same stuff, but it's something that, as a visual handicapper, I watch very carefully. This horse, once she jumped back to her right lead, was absolutely blowing by the field. She gets more distance today. She's only had 6 lifetime starts. I love Billy Girl, at least underneath at 10-1. Moira is definitely the horse to beat. I would play a big Exacta Moira over Millie Girl. I'm going to reverse that for insanity purposes in case Millie Girl upsets the field. I mean, Fev Rover on the outside, the 8, is a nice horse, but she's coming off a big layoff, and I think she wants more distance. You know, Chad's going to take some money on Emma and Victor with the 9. There's no way that horse is 8-1. And then the number 3, Scottish Star, who's 3-1, I believe, second choice in this race.
Yeah.
There's other speed in the race. So I think Millie Girl's absolutely fascinating here. I love the stretch out. If Declan Carroll can work out a trip here, I think she's got a big shot to at least finish second and spice up your exotics underneath. This is one of my biggest plays of the weekend, if not of the summer, that I've seen so far. I love Millie Girl.
I will say, I'm not a big Gallop Out guy, but that one was impressive because she comes under the wire really kind of fighting for third, and they hold on the wire shot until the horses go. And by the time they cut to the Gallop Out, she's 3 lengths ahead.
Yeah, I mean, look, people say, well, Howard, it doesn't matter, it was after the race. Well, sure, it was after the race, but that shows you she had a lot more energy, right? And she was doing it easily. So when they ask after the wire and they gallop out, that doesn't mean as much to us as handicappers, right? Because if they're asking, obviously they're going to go by horses that are not being asked anymore because the race is over. She was doing it in hand on her own. She definitely wants more distance. And I think that lead switch late in stretch really hurt her. Otherwise, she would have been even a better finish. So again, Declan Carroll's got to work out a trip from the inside, but I think she's got a big shot at least to get in the money, and you're going to get a decent price on her today.
Yeah, as I say, I'm not a big Gallop Out guy, but that one was notable, certainly. All right, let's also take a look at the 8th at Woodbine, the Highlander. This is a fun race, 6 furlongs, nice full field. I went 4-2-3-7. I put Macedo on top for Mark Cassie. Seasonal debut was a nice win. Outlaw Kid coming up from Belmont for George Weaver, who's on a little bit of a roll, certainly. But that was a lifetime best in the 4-year-old debut. She may just be a better 4-year-old now for George and Randy Hill and company. You have your hometown guy up, Larry Ravelli, with one-timer. That's the morning line favorite. I didn't use one-timer, but I have no real argument against. Super Dormy is interesting, Old Chestnut. There's some prices here to play around with. What did you see in the Highlander?
This is a tricky race. I have a very quick story about one-timer. 2 starts back in the Franklin Stamps, grade 2, when he won at almost 20-1. My good friend Matt Miller loved one-timer in that race. And if you look at his form, I really didn't think he'd win that race. I didn't think he won 6.5. And I gave my good friend Matt a tough time on the show saying this horse has no chance. And then he wins at 20-1. He is a really good horse. And I love the outside post here. Because Hernandez could just break, look to his left, and see what happens. I don't think distance is a problem. So I'm going with one-timer. I'm not being too creative here. Some other horses to consider for me, Old Chestnut at 10-1, who's a 6-year-old for Martin Drexler, is really getting into good form. I mean, he's been running mid-90s. I know it's been on poly or synthetic up there, but he's run some decent races on turf. That's my price play here, the number 3, Old Chestnut. Edgar Zaya is coming in to ride. I'd also look at Oceanic, the number 6, at 6-1, who had a lot of trouble last time at Indiana Grand. This is a tough race, but I really do think one-timer is going to be tough to beat.
It is. It's a very fun race. And just before we let you go, because I talked about it a little bit earlier, any thoughts to Celine? I mentioned to people, I put her down in the 3rd spot, but Wonder Wheel gets a little chance on the synthetic. It's race number 7, the Celine. I had Mark Cassie on with me up at Saratoga last year. He was very high on her, and she lived up to it last year. But, boy, she has struggled. I mentioned also earlier she's kind of Wonder Wheel and Hoosier Philly have kind of taken a while to get going this year after big years last year. I put her down in the third spot, however, and I took a little shot with Solo Album, the other Mark Cassie at 10-1. But what were your thoughts on Wonder Wheel and the Celine?
I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful, Seth, but she's been awful this year.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, she lost to Suncoast at 50 cents to a dollar in debut. And now maybe the synthetic's going to wake her up. And she is, by Into Mischief, so out of his wonderful mare. So maybe she's going to take the synthetic. I'm going with a Sappy Joseph horse. I really like number 5, Be My Sunshine, at 8-1. She's only run on turf, but turf horses translate very well to synthetic. The fact that Kashi Kimura is on this one, and Safi's got a few in here, and puts Kimura on Be My Sunshine is a big angle for me. I don't know if it's going to work out, but I think she's going to close very well in a race that has a little speed in it. I'm very curious to see what the daughter of Frosted out of a Kitten's Joy mare can do on the synthetic. Be My Sunshine, 8-1, my top choice in the Celine.
Yeah, I like it. And as I say, it's just Moira and Wonder Wheel become a couple of story horses on the afternoon. And I like, the racing, I like cashing tickets, but the stories are a lot of fun as well. And there's some of them up at Woodbine and some also over at Ellis today. And I would have to think they will potentially play into some of the big races right up the turnpike from us coming up in a few weeks up at Saratoga. But Howard, speaking of Saratoga, again, appreciate your visit this morning, and I tout people to check out the podcast as well, the HHH Racing Podcast. Pick up the Power Picks also. But we're looking forward to bringing you back to the backstretch to sit in with us live when you make the visit to the spa this summer.
No, I can't wait. Saratoga is just amazing. Let's keep that smoke away, by the way, from the Northeast, because we don't need any cancellations at Saratoga this summer. I cannot wait. We'll be there for Whitney Week and see Cody's Wish, it looked like, and many others. It's just a tremendous weekend, and you guys did such a great job, and you've been so gracious to us. So thank you. Look forward to seeing you again in person and talking to your fans.
Howard, appreciate it, and we will talk shortly.
All right, take care, Seth. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Howard Kravitz from the HHH Racing Podcast. And again, absolutely worth checking out. You go to HHHRacingPodcast.com. That's their website, and that'll take you over to YouTube. Or just go to YouTube and in the search box type in HHH Racing Podcast, and you can pull it up. Again, as he mentioned, and I'll be sitting in, as they say, at night, watching live. But again, on YouTube, you can pull up replays anytime as well. And check out the April broadcast where the co-host Paul Haller, and who does some work for the Saratoga Special right up here at Saratoga also. But again, he wins one of the more notable contests in the country just on the I was going to say a whim might be too strong of a word, but I don't know what it is, because he says in the podcast, contest entries closed at noon, and I think he said he signed up at like 11:55. Wasn't sure whether he wanted to play or what, and then wins the whole thing and wins some big money. It was a fun story, and those are what give us all some hope. It's just like, I'll play a contest today, and boom, maybe I wind up winning. And again, I tout contest, and again, with Saratoga right around the corner, I tout those low rollers. Those are a lot of fun. I play all the time. And I got to get back to the winner's circle. I had a nice few seasons. I think overall, I probably won maybe 4 or 5 of those low rollers, but not in a couple of years. I won a 3 or 4 at Saratoga, and then one weekend we were down broadcasting from Belmont, and they did one down there, and I won Belmont one too. But as they say, it's been probably more than a couple of years. It's been maybe 3 or 4 years since I've won. Well, I got to get back in the hunt this year. But again, you have to, you're looking a little bit differently. You're searching for some value, and you're playing around, and I think it hones your handicapping nicely playing in some of those contests. And so, speaking of which, we have the tourney bets via Capital OTB, Capital OTB Bet, CapitalOTB.com. Look for ours, and you play against other people, I think the various New York State OTBs all combine, and those are fun too. Those are on the weekends, so you can go through the Capital OTB website to find that tourney bets contest play also worth checking out. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Hopefully we were worth checking out today. Handicappers report a little bit earlier, and Racing Across America here. Hopefully we gave you some good ideas. Again, really nice racing today. And hopefully, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, the smoke situation is on the sidelines for today. It is at this point. Woodbine earlier tweeted out they're going. Belmont tweeted out they're going. They were both on the sidelines yesterday due to the air quality issues. So again, hopefully things hold out. Do want to remind you once again, here at the Clubhouse Racebook today, win a bet contest. Come on down and enjoy a fun afternoon of racing. Maybe grab a little lunch. Enjoy watching with a group of people and cashing some tickets, hopefully. But maybe you get a little extra something with the win a bet contest. That's right here today at the Clubhouse Racebook. And tomorrow it's the match bet promotion. You can come down, same thing, win a little bit extra potentially on Sunday. Both of those right here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. And don't forget, with the holiday coming up on Tuesday, there is racing in New York on Tuesday. I'll be here on the network watching the racing, but keep that in mind as well. If you'd like to come down, spend some of the holiday action right here with us at the Racebook, or just keep it in mind that fire up your Capital OTB bet account and watch us on TV Monday and Tuesday with some New York racing. All right, time to wrap it up. But once again, be back in an hour and a half or so as we'll kick off some fun action for a Saturday afternoon. That big card at Ellis, nice stakes action at Woodbine, a couple of nice stakes at Belmont, including that Dwyer. Let's see if a three-year-old can kind of step up. Delaware, again, the Delaware Oaks and the Robert G. Dick Memorial. As I say, every year, and I don't think this year will be any exception, horses come out of those Delaware stakes at about this time of year, and you know, Dell handicap as well, and move forward. And we'll see some of those performances play into Saratoga also, because we're getting close. All right, now I will wrap it up. Seth Merrillin here on a Saturday morning. Hope you had a lot of fun. Hope you got some good information. Hope it plays into cashing some tickets a little bit later this afternoon. And we will be back this afternoon in just about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live. We'll see you then.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.